By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which exist. Once in a while, Luther used to say, if I had written this text, I wouldn't have put creation foremost, I would have put redemption up front. But God knows better. I'm speaking as Luther would have spoken. He didn't say that about this text. One commentator has said, the reason the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews put creation up front because it is most repulsive to the sinful mind. And that's true. Hebrews is a masterpiece of theology, literature, and artless art. Show me Christology which exceeds that of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Show me a New Testament book which has better Greek in it than the Epistle to the Hebrews. Many of you will not, I don't mean to insult you, but I mean you probably will never reach the point where you can make that judgment. But people who knew their Greek thoroughly, especially the German scholars, have classified the Epistle to the Hebrews along with the writings of Plato and Aristotle. And it is a book of artless art. For example, in the first chapter, via a concatenation of 12 Old Testament passages, the writer summarizes all of Christology, and then he spends the other 12 chapters explaining without ever referring to one of those verses. That's really artless art. A theme which is constant in the book is the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, though he never quotes the book of Leviticus. And one of the greatest wonders is that in the greatest locus on Christian faith, Christ is not mentioned once throughout Hebrews 11, and that has caused some exegetes to say, well, you know, this is kind of embryonic trust. It isn't yet truly Christian faith. Well, doesn't St. Paul say there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism? And Luther carried that a little further in the third article, where he says that through the Holy Spirit, we are kept in Christ, in the one true faith. Right. The faith that is described in Hebrews 11 is thoroughly Christian, centered in Christ. In fact, there is no such thing as faith in the Bible which is not faith in Christ, whether it's mentioned or not. So, when he's talking about creation here, he's talking about Christ. The epistle to the Colossians says, in him, that is, in Christ, all things were created. And you know, the first miracle he ever performed is proof of that. Turning water into wine. You know, according to evolutionists, that should have taken about a million years. A couple of years ago, my wife and I drove out the West Coast, and on the way back, we stopped at the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. That is a magnificent sight, if you've ever seen it. It was a nice, warm morning in August. We walked up the southern rim, and there was a young forest ranger lecturing a small group of people, and we drew near unto them, and I could hear millions and billions. So that drew my attention, and We joined the circle. They were a very docile group of people. And when he got done with his little spiel, he said, if any of you have questions, would you just stay behind and I'll be glad to answer. So we did stay behind. And I said, young man, he was about 22 or 23, sounded extremely learned. I said, what did God have to do with all of this? Oh, he said, we don't allow myths around here. I said, do tell. I said, can I stay here and when the next group of people comes and you tell them where this Grand Canyon came from, will you give me equal time so that I can tell you about the written record which you don't have? Oh, he said, we don't allow that here. Do tell. That's un-American, young man. That's un-American. Oh, he said, we just talk about science here. We don't talk about myths. Well, I said, I'm not going to waste my breath. It did occur to me at that moment, according to your understanding, it would have taken Christ a million years to turn water into wine. But of course, you know what he would have said. That's a myth. Well, he really got my dander up. And when I got home, I wrote the Secretary of Interior. That was Donald Hodel at that time. You probably don't remember him. He was Secretary of Interior under President Reagan. And I thanked him for, I was very careful not to be offensive in the letter. And first of all, I spent a page thanking him for all the things that the Department of Interior has done for American citizens, and I said, I got a gripe, though. Then I told him, described this, and I said, what really distressed me was the un-Americanism of that forest ranger you got out there. And at the bottom I wrote, I want this letter to come to the attention of Donald Hodel, not some secretary. And I got an answer from Donald Hodel. A personal answer, which I still have. And he was very sympathetic to what I wrote, but nothing ever happened. He said he would take it under advisement, and of course I knew what that meant. Ridiculous. A couple of weeks ago, down here at Huntington, Department of Fishing and Hunting allowed a dove hunt by children under the supervision of the Game Department and the parents of the children. There is an excess of doves this year, and so they allowed the children to shoot doves. And sure enough, here came some young people who just screamed at about it was terribly wrong to shoot these nice feathery friends. Well, of course, you can see what was behind that, because they considered the doves their first cousins. You know, this is what evolution causes people to do. It is just madness, isn't it? It's all over our culture. It's madness. It's madness like pro-choice. It's madness for insisting on the gay lifestyle as they use such educated verbiage, don't they? It is just madness. In Him were all things created. The Father Almighty of the first article is the same Father as the Our Father in the Lord's Prayer, isn't he? And Jesus says about him, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Punctum. That excludes all other possibilities of faith as being in anyone except Christ, and by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. You know the rest of the passage. Now, the dangerous thing in the visible Christian church today is that some Christians don't want to appear so square, so they compromise a little bit, you know. They won't compromise on the second and third article, but on the first. You know that as well as I do. Well, that's about as ridiculous as telling a child that he came from mama and papa, but that great-granddaddy came from a monkey. None of the three articles will suffer compromise, will they? There is just no compromising what you believe. The three articles equally require the one true faith, and of course, we believe in what Paul said, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You believe in things for which you have not one shred of evidence. It's simply because God says so. And that's, of course, why you are here. There are going to be many times in your life when you're going to be tempted, you know, to give in a little bit here and a little bit there, but never deny what you confess in the three articles of our Christian faith, because it is Christ 100%. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I'm not denying that when a person first becomes a Christian, he may still carry some of this garbage of evolution with him, which he believed before he became a Christian. I'm just going to tell you one little story more, and then I'm going to quit. In 1968, I managed Lutheran Camp Perkins up in Idaho. Maybe some of you are acquainted with that place. I didn't do a very good job of managing the camp. I will never do it again because it's more than I can handle. But anyway, a young forest ranger from the state of Utah came and stayed in the camp for about 2 weeks. And I used to preach every Sunday, and he would just bother me. He wanted to sit and talk about my sermon. He was so excited about salvation through faith in Christ. It was Christ, Christ, Christ. Well, one day we took a truckload of young people under the tutelage of an Idaho forest ranger out to the forest preserve. He was going to take them on a hike, and this young man from Idaho went with me. And we dropped the kids off, and then on the way back, he started talking to me about the wonders of how this all evolved. Well, I just about swallowed my teeth. I mean, I just thought, how can this fellow who believes in the second article deny the first? And I just wanted to go to work and lecture him. But I thought it over and I said, surely his pastor knows about this, and this is a case of a sin of weakness, and he will take care of that. Just mind your own business and just preach the gospel. That's the way I looked at it. Now, I may have done the wrong thing. Maybe I should. I've thought about that so many times since. But anyway, the only point I'm making is that a person who is converted may carry some of this garbage with him. That you understand, and I'm sure that the Lord forgives that. But after you've become firm in the faith, there is just no denying that first article. And that's the one you're going to have the most trouble with, isn't it? That first article. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And Colossians says, in Christ all things were created. May God give you the strength and the conviction to confess Him before men so that He can confess you before the heavenly throne. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ. Amen.